It's the pneuma on Sankey. Now, I'll wait for that. Reincarnation teaches the psyche on carne, the psyche in carne, the psyche coming on the meat. But Jesus taught the pneuma coming on the psyche. Now, nod your head. You see, this is difficult, but you will get this in Jesus' name, even if you haven't read my green book. You're going to understand this. There is a difference between soul and spirit. And the reincarnation of the soul, Jesus didn't know anything about. The Bible doesn't teach. But he said there is a realm in which the pneuma comes upon the psyche, soul, not the psyche on the carne. Psyche on carne, that's karma and reincarnation, all that kind of stuff. But pneuma on psyche is very similar to, you understand, but not reincarnation. All right. How was John similar to, but did not have, the soul of Elijah? Well, Elijah knew about widows, he knew about ravens, he knew about all that kind of stuff. Did John know anything about that? No. What did John know about? Well, he knew about having a father who was a priest in Jerusalem. He went up to Jerusalem, kept feasts, all those kind of things. In the soul, mind realm, did they have common interests, common goals, common anything? Hardly not. How about in the spirit? Well, Elijah walked up to Ahab, shook his finger right in Ahab's nose and said, "Ahab, it's not lawful for you to have this woman for your wife." Elijah went to Ahab. John the Baptist went ahead, took his finger, wiggled it under his nose and said, "Ahab, it's not lawful for you to have this woman for your wife." How's that for the same spirit? The Bible says right here that Jesus tells they in the Old Testament up to this point, including John, will thrust each other through to take the kingdom. And in the Old Testament, in order to have righteousness, you had to throw rocks at someone else. Whether you caught that or not. You had to thrust through and teach them to keep the rules and laws, traditions, commandments, judgments, statutes, and ordinances. And when they didn't, your righteousness was increased by thrusting them through, by throwing rocks, by bringing punishment. And in the Old Testament, the sin and the sinner were punished. But in the New Testament, Jesus never whitewashed the sin, but he never punished the sinner. Now let's see that carefully. Do you see what I'm doing? So what's the difference between the Elijah and the Christ? The Elijah brings law, John the Baptist, and it gets things ready and lines things up. Now, did John the Baptist have the Holy Ghost? Yes. Absolutely yes. That's important, remember. But he is not the anointed one, for the anointed one brings grace and love and forgiveness and meets the people where they are and gives them another chance. But the lawyers throw rocks, stab them through, send them to the gallows. How many, you follow what I'm doing on this? Okay. Now in the end time, and this is the best part of the lesson, just before the manifestation of the sons of God will be a group, an Elijah company. And what spirit will they come in? A mixture of law and leading the Holy Ghost, grace. They did have the Holy Ghost. All right, now I'm going to tell you who the Elijah company are right now. The Elijah company are your Pentecostals. Charismatics. I have to say charismatics because they've allowed the law to come into their room. And it started in 1945 by William Branham. Laid hands on Till Osborne and Oral Roberts and Jack Coe and all those guys. And since and Demas Shakarian, you know all of this. And then all of you are a result of that. And I want you to hear me carefully. Right now you are in the Elijah company. You are. You're a part of Elijah company under the gospel of the circumcision, and you're ready to enter the gospel of the uncircumcision when you will be manifest as a son of God, joined with Christ, you understand what I'm talking about, you will, starting out as a disciple of the Elijah Company, move from the Elijah ideas, which are Holy Ghost, yes, but mixed with the law, yes. Then you will move over into Jesus Christ, who doesn't ever put anybody under the law, just puts them under the love and truth and grace and the move of the Holy Ghost and the miracles. You see what's happening? So there's going to be two companies. And how many will agree with me that if we go to any banquet, anywhere in any town, there will be Christian lawyers? I'm not talking about lawyers. I'm talking about people there to put you under the law. Do they have the Holy Ghost? Yes, they do have the Holy Ghost. But are they interested in your freedom? They're interested in putting another turn of the rope around. Sister, I've heard it said that God can't hear you pray with your hair cut. God won't hear with those earrings on. And I know that you're not supposed to be wearing those slacks. Now, that's just a few of the things. But let me tell you something else. God will never be pleased unless you arrive on time to Sunday school. Naturally, God will smile when you bring your tithes. How many of you have seen what I'm doing? And what are these? Putting you under structured law, society, which does have the Holy Ghost. Was John filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb? Yes. And in 1945, the charismatic move was born, filled with the Holy Ghost, starting with William Branham and then on. Now, by the way, I'm not a Branhamite. How many know when I say William Branham? How many know something about what I'm talking about? All right, we have a few here. This was the father of the whole thing. He really was. And those in his movement called him Elijah. Did you know that? And he referred to himself as Elijah. Later on, they call him the Christ. Yes, some in his movement called him the Christ. And, of course, his movement's not amounting to much anymore. But after he died, then they expected him to raise from the dead and all that kind of stuff. But they couldn't understand that, see, William Branham would find all kinds of fault with women with short hair and makeup on and all that kind of stuff. He had the move of the Holy Ghost in his life to more than any person I've ever heard of. But he kept putting them under the, just like Elijah and John the Baptist and the present move that's going on right now. How many see it? Shaking their fingers in the face. Now the manifested sons will be more like the Christ. They'll meet you just where you are. Five husbands? No condemnation. If you'll drink the water that I'll give you, you'll never thirst again. Give it to me and I'll gobble it up. What? Five husbands? Yeah. She gobbled it. You know what the Bible says about her in Luke 8:1-2? She joined his entourage, traveled with him for the next period, several years, and was there at the crucifixion. How many understood what I just said? Saved? Yes. Filled with the Holy Ghost? Yes. Five husbands? Yes. Woman taken in the act of adultery? Neither do I condemn thee. Now, the sin I condemn, but not the sinner. How many understand this? Here's another chance. Pick up the pieces. Start again. Are you seeing it? The Christ will meet you where you are and love you in spite of all that's happened in the past. And give you another chance and give you the power to turn your life into something worthwhile for the future. But the John the Baptist company will thrust you through. Take the king with violence and violently attack you so that they can have righteousness. Now how many know of actual circumstances where that's happening today? Where the attacks of the John the Baptist company or the Elijah company are attacking those who are switching the disciples that left John and now following Jesus, you see, and they're actually attacking violently some and viciously attacking those who want to grant grace instead of throw rocks. And now you get your choice. Which group sounds best to you? What do you think the action is? Well, if you're going to stay with the John the Baptist groups, the Elijah group, there's nothing left for you but... Come on. Don't you know what it means on television? Cut. It means guillotine for you. You have to go the way of all flesh because you're a law keeper. And you think that by keeping the law is going to find favor with God. Now, how far do you think I could get teaching this in the Seventh-day Adventist Church? Next question. Are the Seventh-day Adventist people saved? Yes. If they die, do they go to heaven? Yes, of course they go to heaven. Jesus in the heart? Yep. This may surprise you, but Mormons also have Jesus in the heart. Mm-hmm. The only thing is they happen to have an extra book that we don't have that they believe. I mean, there's the thing there. If Mormon dies, does he go to heaven?
What difference does it make you believe?
And
you go to heaven, so-and-so.
What goes to heaven?
Spirit.
I want to stay alive. The difference is, I want to be alive and remain the coming of Christ so I can keep it all together, baby.
Well, but the Spirit is...
The Spirit goes to heaven.
You're going to be the Father. You're going to be the Father. You still feel alive.
All right. Now, let me finish. I'll answer that. By faith Abraham, by faith Isaac, by faith Jacob, by faith all these wonderful men of faith. And time would fail me to tell, David, Samson, Jephthah the prophet, did all these wonderful works of faith. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that the dead ones, without us, the live ones, cannot be made perfect. Now, there's the reason.
But they're not really in heaven.
Or maybe yes, they are in heaven, but they're not perfect.
So the lowest heaven, there must be in which heaven, not the seventh.
Well, well, that's right. You're all right. They're not in. They're not at the throne. Now, who's going to be on the throne? The overcomer. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me on my throne. Now, what's the last enemy to be overcome?
Death.
So when we overcome the last enemy, which is... We bring perfection to all that have gone on before us, even Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Come on. Don't you understand that all creation groans waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God? All creation groans. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. When it says creation, it did not mean grasshopper. All creation means people. Creature means body. And it says, and we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to it, the redemption of our bodies. For the body redemption will bring all creation into perfection. There will be no rapture, no coming back, no perfection, no coming together into one or unity of the spirits that are gone until you become perfect in spirit and soul and body. When you become perfect, spirit, soul, and body, you bring perfection to all creation. As in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. Spirits. Not souls. Not bodies. Spirits. But there will be a group of people, the last ones on the earth. They will overcome in every area. Spirit and soul and body. There'll be perfect spirits, perfect souls, perfect bodies. And they will rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Now do you see it? Now, finding fault with anybody's going on. 1974, New Palestine Cemetery, near Indianapolis, Indiana. Davy Bob buried Paul Ebaugh. No, I'm sorry. Davy Bob buried the body of Paul Ebaugh. Paul Ebaugh wasn't buried. Paul Ebaugh left 4 days before. You understand what I'm doing, see? Now, he's up there in that ring. They, without us, cannot be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we are surrounded by that great cloud of witnesses. And who's in the cloud of witnesses? Paul Ebaugh, Jesse Ebaugh, Harold Ebaugh. All the way back to Adam Ebaugh. I am a direct descendant, you know. Mm-hmm. Seeing, therefore, we're surrounded by that great cloud of witnesses, let us, who's the us? The ones that are alive. Run the race, not falling for the sin that does so easily beset us. What sin is that? Well, it's not smoking cigarettes, and it's not getting drunk. You know that sin that does so easily beset us, and everyone comes under it? Death. Death. And if you don't believe it, then why did the Bible say that the power of death is under Satan? Come on. Now, I know there's a little trouble here. Maybe I shouldn't have done that. But Satan has the power of death. Come on. And it is a sin because it's missing the mark. And the mark is the throne. And when you're on the throne, you overcome the last enemy, which is death. Now, did I find fault with my daddy? Or any saint or anybody like that? Does anybody feel like I'm nasty or mean on anybody? I just want to see something. All creation is groaning for you to wake up and understand that you hold the destiny of the world in your hands. You came from God in spirit. And I don't want you to go back. I want you to stay around where I can see you. See, hear, smell, taste, and feel. I want you to be alive in this physical body. But I want you to get rid of your dumb head. Replace your carnal mind with the mind of Christ. And when you do that and get the glory of the Father in your body, the Bible says all creation will become perfect. Wherefore, seeing now we're approaching into Mount Zion and the spirits of just men made perfect. So they will be made perfect when you become perfect. But what's keeping you from your perfection right now? The Stoichions. The law of Moses. The gospel of the circumcision. Two gospels. Come on, Galatians. Two gospels. The gospel of the circumcision and the gospel of the uncircumcision. The gospel of circumcision was given to Peter, gospel and the uncircumcision given to Paul. Gospel of circumcision, mixture of law and grace. Gospel of uncircumcision, pure grace. God in his mercy gave us the gospel of circumcision because it was too much of a cultural shock to go from law to grace. So we went to an interim gospel, a mixture of law and grace. How many understood that? John the Baptist, anointed by the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb, still was under the law of Moses. The tabernacle experience, Elijah and Moses appear with Jesus. But when the glory hits, they see no man save Jesus only. They lose Moses, they lose Elijah. Are you ready to leave the law-oriented structure and follow the Spirit? You first must have all your attitudes changed before you can become perfect in the body. I'm going to say that again. You got to have your spirit perfect before the Holy Ghost can come to your soul. You got to give your heart to Jesus. That makes you perfect. Then the Holy Ghost comes to your soul, starts engrafting the Word of God. That starts to make you perfect. But that's a present progressive tense verb. Am I talking too fast for your night? I know I'm rushing. I'm watching my watch and all this.
That's what keeps me out of the kingdom, not the law, but the wrong attitudes.
But don't you understand? Your attitudes are because you're thrusting through because of the law. Mm-hmm. Everything you do to get yourself in trouble, you can justify with the law of Moses and say, see, I should have done this. I should have. They had it coming. And you can prove it in the Old Testament. And that proves that you are in the Elijah company, not the Christ company. Can you see this? The Elijah company will thrust through. They'll hurt. They'll shake fingers. They'll find fault. The Christ company will just love and give the power for a better life, a better future. the Elijah company. That's your John the Baptist. We'll go up to the guys and shake their fingers in the nose. That's not lawful for you to do and conduct your life the way you've been doing and be living with this woman and all that kind of stuff. By the way, when I teach this way, I have no particular person in mind, though I know a pocket full of them. You understand this? Now, I'm not coming on any particular person. How many of you know some guys have been doing those kind of things? All right, and really putting them under condemnation.
Why don't you talk about
the men? Well, those are the examples, you see, that we work with. And, of course, the girls. Well, I'm not here to find fault with anybody. I want to leave the thrusting through. I want to leave the rock-throwing contest. And the Bible says those who love will live. And Peter said, add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, temperance space, space, godliness, your godliness, phileo love, and the phileo love, agape love. The top two steps are loving steps. You got to love. And then he said, if you love, you will never fail, fall, or die. I said, Peter. So you cannot fail, fall, or die if you love. But if you fight, that's throw rocks because of the law, stand up for your own rights. You hear what I'm doing now? Standing up for your own rights. See? Then you have to die. But if you love, you can live. And I was a fighter and I found out lovers have more fun than fighters. So when I found out that lovers have more fun than fighters, I decided to be a lover instead of a fighter. And I want to live and I don't want to die, and fighters die and lovers live. So I want to be a loving liver. Oh, living lover. Loving liver? But whatever. I want to live and love, don't you? Isn't that a lot better than fighting? And then, of course, they train us to fight. There's one other point that I wanted to get at here. All the prophets and the law prophesied until John. All the law and the prophets prophesied about all the steps until, say it, John. Now that John has come, why are you still looking back there for instruction? It's a type and a shadow. Now, I don't know why we conduct our lives by reading types and shadows instead of going to the real thing. All the prophets and law prophesied until John. So don't spend too much time understanding Old Testament prophecy, as Old Testament prophecy sheds light on the book of Revelation. You're wise. How many understood what I just did? How do we teach out of Daniel? Shine every light right on fifth seal, fifth trump, sixth trump. You know what I'm doing? Because the book of Revelation is where the action is. The type and the shadow is back there in the old. So John said, no, I'm not. Jesus said, yes, you are. But John was in the... And Jesus was in the... One more scripture. Point six. Someone give it to me. Romans chapter 8, verse 2.
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death.
Do that four or five times. Just two or three. Go ahead.
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death.
The law of sin and death. And what is the law of sin and death? The law of sin and death is karma. And if, hear this carefully, if there is a reincarnation of soul, and if karma is true, now according to the Bible, there's nothing to prove it. But there are a lot of other books written to prove it. How many understood what I said? And if those books know something outside the realm of the Bible, if those authors know something outside what the Bible teaches about reincarnation of soul. And if there is a karma, and if there is a sin and a death, and a sin and a death, and a sin and a death. How many understood? That's karma. Sin and death, sin and death, sin and death. That's karma. Now the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I'm free from the law of karma.
So the people who are not in Jesus, how about the people are under?
Well, we don't know about that because the Bible doesn't teach karma. But I know something about you. I know that every person here is here for the last time. Now, let's get that straight. You're here for the last time. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death and sin and death.
Is that the same thing, cause and effect?
Yeah, cause and effect. Or, in other words, if you die, you're not coming back again. Is that what he said? Okay, now let's get that straight. Now, if there is a reincarnation, if there is a karma, now did I say there was? And I can never say there is because the Bible doesn't say it, and I'm a Bible teacher. But if some other books and some other people have figured something else that the Bible people didn't know about, and if they're right, I know this, that we're on our last time around. Is that okay? I've cleared that up. So the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death does not operate anymore in my life. Unless I'm not in the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, but I could be in the Holy Spirit in John the Baptist. And if I've got the Holy Spirit in the Elijah company, then I don't have the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I still have the Holy Ghost. But the Holy Ghost that I have is the Holy Ghost of the Elijah Holy Ghost or the John the Baptist. And that means I will not live but have to die. Amen. You have learned a lot tonight. You've seen lots of deep truths. And now you know, not only a history lesson, but I've given you some prophecy about the future. And I called you all disciples of John the Baptist, didn't I? Because within your soul has been placed seeds. Touch not, taste not, handle not. Which shall all perish with the using. How many know that's Bible? Colossians 2. And what were those seeds? Were they religious seeds? Yes. Watch it. Were they of God? Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Was Elijah of God? Was John the Baptist of God? Was the law of God? For the prophets of God? Then what's wrong? It's time. They were in their time. It was right for the time. It was of God for the time. But you see, 1978 ends the 33 and a half year period since the birth of the charismatic move. That's John the Baptist. It was necessary. And it must, in the future, shortly,
die.
So that the disciples can come out from the touch not, taste not, handle not, and enjoy the liberty of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Right close. Not very far away. I've been prophesying this since 1968. Now, there are people here who are still afraid for the future of their structure. And the things that I teach threaten your structure. Let me tell you, I'm going to lay it on the line, shooting from the hip. Your structure will die. Now, I'm not saying that your church is going to crumble. But anyone who teaches people that they can find favor with God through anything but Jesus Christ will die. Jesus Christ is the only mediator between man and God. Jesus already found favor. My favor with God has been established through Jesus Christ. It's not even my righteousness, it's the righteousness of Christ. And furthermore, it's not even my faith, it's the faith of Jesus Christ. And that wipes me out. It's not my faith, it's not my righteousness, it's not anything. It's by the grace of God. And grace is unmerited favor. And if I try to do anything to find favor with God, and you, don't you understand how important this is to me? I was raised in a society that taught me all kinds of rules and laws how to find favor with God. And I was finding favor with men, not God. And they said, eat this and don't eat that, and wear this and stay away from that, and go away and don't ever dance and don't ever go to the movies, and oh my. And our church, oh, we weren't the prettiest church in town. Rules and laws, traditions, commandments, judgments, statutes, and ordinances. I heard preaching for 45 minutes on the evils of wearing bobby socks. Pentecost, 1948. Now, some of you weren't even around in 48, but I was listening to that kind of stuff back then. And I had this mind filled with that poison. You see what I'm talking about? And thinking that those kind of dumb things are going to find favor with God. They were finding favor with that preacher who was mad about the bobby socks. Yes, I've come a long ways, baby. You know the next line, but you've got a long ways to go. But at least I've identified where I've come from, and I know the company I want to keep. Now, how about you? Have you made some decisions about the kind of company that you need to keep? The Elijah company, the John the Baptist company, are of God. But you can find out who they are by just spending a little bit of time, especially if you can, you know, have a dinner or something with the pastor and his wife, and find out whether they're throwing rocks and putting people under law. And there's your clue right there. What spirit do they have? Say it. The Elijah spirit. And with that Elijah spirit, what are they going to mount to? Well, they're going to mount to the camels. But when we meet people who are sinners and offer love, forgiveness, another chance, what spirit do you think brings that kind of action? Say it. The Christ Spirit. And the Christ Spirit will take you into the body of Christ. So watch yourself. You know thyself. Do a little self introspection now. Quit finding fault. Meet people with love. Give them another chance. Enter the Christ Spirit. If you must. Oh, by the way, let me do it this way. I think it would be good, and if I had the chance, I would start out with Moses and keep all 613. I'd go through David, and I would enjoy dancing in David's tabernacle before the ark. I would move on with John the Baptist and get the Holy Ghost mixed with law and learn the things that are necessary there. But do you think that I would want to stop there? My goal is the throne. I want to rule and reign. I want to be a part of the Christ group, not the Elijah company. I want to go all the way. And don't you think that it would have been nice for each one of us if we could have started in the beginning and moved with each one of these groups and moved through each one? But how many understand that moving through each one, leaving your mother, is a traumatic experience? Either through birth, how many understood that trauma, both for mother and babe, or marriage. And if you haven't conducted very many marriages, you don't know how much trauma there is there. How many of you have been to a few marriages where there's a lot of trauma between mother and daughter? I guess I got everybody here on that one. These are traumatic experiences, leaving mother and going into the new thing. And I don't know why it is, but there are always influences trying to keep us from taking that step, holding us back from moving on into God. There's a group of people here who are going to take the step. They will bring all creation into perfection. There are people here tonight who are going to bring all creation. Did you hear me? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all creation into perfection. Even we who have the first fruits of the Spirit, those who have been groaning within themselves, waiting for the adoption, they were waiting, and they didn't get the salvation of their bodies. And they're waiting in hope, the next verse says, Romans 8:24. But there will be a group who moves out of hope and turns hope into faith. Well, you caught that theologically or not. And they will be manifested sons of God. They'll sit on the throne of God. I'll say it again. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I have overcome, and am sitting in my Father's throne. There are people who will do it. Without a vision, the people perish. Has the church taught this vision? Why? Romans 2:7. By patient continuance and well-doing, seek glory, seek honor, and seek immortality. They didn't teach us to seek it. Because Peter said, I, Pete, have been saved in spirit, being saved in soul, but will not be saved in my body. But there is reserved in heaven. What's reserved? Reserved in heaven. Is it there?
Yeah.
Do you have it?
Yeah.
Well, yes and no. Yeah, it's there, but it's, you can't spend it. Reserved in heaven, an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, salvation or deliverance, ready to be revealed in the last days. Mad at Daddy? Not a bit. Mad at the departed saints? Not a bit. Because they were born to a generation that was born to die. You're born to a generation born to. For 2,000 years, the church taught us, get ready to. Now people are saying, teach me how to live. There's a group that's going to do it. I'd like to offer everybody here another chance. Jesus said, there's another chance. I love you, accept you just the way you are. I wouldn't change anybody here one bit. I wouldn't change you one bit tonight. But I want you to have another chance tomorrow. Because tomorrow the new word is shape up or ship out. Tomorrow it's shape up or ship out. And when I say ship out, I'm talking about ship out in the physical realm. The way of all flesh. That means you're going to have to, between now and tomorrow, receive more than grafted word, which is able to save your, get rid of your carnal mind, change, save your soul, change your mind, replace it with a mind of, so the glory of the Father can come into this carny. And do you know that the Bible says that you worship God in your spirit and body, which are God's, but leaves out the word soul? Do you know why God leaves out the word soul? He doesn't think much of your mind. Come on, nod your mind that he doesn't think much of. So we get rid of it, replace it with a mind of, and then he'll put his glory in your body. Then all creation, those that have gone before us, will become perfect. They'll become perfect when you enter it yourself. Now I want to pray for you that every person here will enter that perfection in spirit and soul, and because all creation groans waiting for your manifestation. Stand with me while we pray, please. Will you agree with me in prayer? Our Father, in Jesus' name, we pray for eyes that see, ears that hear. We've just read about some people who, having eyes they could see not and ears they could hear not. Jesus said that if you have ears, you'll understand this lesson. Give us ears to hear, Lord, spiritual ears. Give us understanding. And now we agree, like Paul, that there be a group here perfect under the coming of the Lord. We agree that every heart will say yes to Jesus Christ. Every soul and mind will say yes to the Holy Ghost and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And every body will say yes to the glory of the Father. And we agree that every spirit and every soul and every body shall be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. In His name we pray. Amen.
For a free catalog of Bible teaching cassettes and books, send your name and address with zip code to David Ebaugh Bible School.